Welcome back to Chasing Tone Podcast. I am your host, Brian Wampler, with my co-host, Blake Weiland. Blake, how are you today?
I'm pretty good today. I'm fixing to go get me some Vietnamese food later, and I'm very excited about it.
Did you notice how last episode I did the late night NPR type of thing, and this week I did the fully caffeinated version?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
One of these days we got to do morning radio DJ.
You do that so much better than I do. I'm horrible at
morning. Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast.
That's right. Yes. You should just do a static version of that, you know? So every week it's the same.
I could record something for you and like give traffic updates and news, traffic, weather, news at 3, at the top of the 5, and we'll be blah blah blah. There's a tomato truck overturned on 84. Oh no, look out.
And it's gotta have that EDM type music in the background, you know.
Oh yeah. There's nothing that I miss more than morning radio. Not gonna lie. I don't miss it at all.
I was taking my daughter to school today, which only happens like once a week. Anyways. That's not the point. The point is, on the drive there, I turned on the radio just for minutes just to see what's on because I've like never listened to the radio like you. And there was about 30 seconds of talking and then the entire rest of the way to her school, which is about 15 minutes, was nothing but commercials for 15 minutes.
Yeah, you caught them at their commercial break. They do that so they can say like, we will give you 40 minutes of nonstop music, followed by 25 minutes of commercials.
So literally when it happened, anytime that happens, if I happen to be watching TV, which I don't, then I turn the channel or get on my phone. If I'm driving and commercial comes on and I'm listening to the radio, which I usually don't, I turn it off. I'm just like, I refuse to listen to this. I'm sorry.
Well, what's interesting is we're the cord cutting type, so we don't have cable and therefore don't watch regular TV. It's all streaming for us. When we had the smoke incident here, whatever, in December, I think we talked about
the smoke incident of 18.
We were in the hotel and therefore for the first time like had cable in like years, honestly.
And you're like, I remember why we don't have this.
Yeah, exactly. My wife's like, there's so many commercials. And, you know, we're watching kids' television stuff, so it's all these toys. And, like, we didn't realize, and I feel like a very, well, in our conversation before we were recording and now leading into this, I'm starting to feel like an old man. Because I'm always like, well, back in my day, what I noticed about the toy commercials on these kids' programs, like, toys have gotten really gross. It's like a lot of like dolls that go to the bathroom and need wiped and like things that throw up and stuff. I'm like, what is all of this? When did this become something that kids wanted?
Why would you buy a toy whenever children do that?
Well, that's a good question. And why would a kid want to take care of a miniature version of themselves that barfs all over the place? I don't really understand it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a child program for a while, so I can't speak to that, but I can definitely say that wouldn't be my jam. No, sir.
Me and my wife were just looking at each other like, is this what the youths of today are
Utes.
Into?
Y-U-T-E-S, youths.
The youths? Is this what the youths are doing? Is this the thing? But anyway, all that aside, yeah, I feel very much the same way you do about commercials, except for weirdly, I will sometimes sit through them on certain podcasts because sometimes they have a deal and like I'm like, you know me, I like my food. So if there's like a deal on ButcherBox and I can get extra meat for a discount, I'm kind of all about that.
I get that. And that applies to you. Yeah. I get it.
And then, like, actually, just recently, and we're not sponsored by them, but I did get a nice discount on LegalZoom that I happen to need to use LegalZoom. So sometimes I will sit through them, but for the most part, yeah, I don't. I'm with you.
Yeah, I promise, guys and gals and people and animal, basically anyone else listening to this, we'll get into gear in just a second. So maybe fast forward for another minute, you know. So anyways,
we have to get this important stuff out of the way.
Got to get in the flow of things. So we have satellite here because we live out in a rural place where there is no cable. And we haven't turned it on for months. So I actually had a conversation with my wife last night or this morning. Like, we should just stop, like, just discontinue it. The only time I've ever watched it is like a pay-per-view, MMA sort of thing, UFC thing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
That's the only time I've ever used it for a year or two or three or four. I mean, now I use it, and now we're getting into the gear part. Now I use it to watch exactly what I want to watch whenever I want to watch it. So I can pull up the pedal show at 2 o'clock in the morning and watch. I can binge watch, 10 episodes in a row if I want to, with no commercials, because I pay a little extra for Red or whatever it's called.
Right.
You know, that's worth it to me.
But even still, like, YouTube commercials are kind of annoying, but at the same time, like, you really do get a lot out of YouTube before they have you watch a commercial, and then you don't have to sit there very long for most of them.
Well, I have to say, the ones at the beginning, I can withstand those. It's whenever I'm really into something and it like cuts it off abruptly into a commercial. You're like, oh, come on, man. I get why people do it. I mean, you get paid a little more. I get it. But it's just as a consumer, it's kind of a bummer.
My question is, and I mean, this is probably a stupid question, but as a marketing guy, I put my marketing hat on. And I wonder about those kinds of commercials, the ones that are interrupting a download or something like that, or a YouTube video. I'm like, do those really work? Like, nobody wants to see that. Like, nobody is like, oh, great, this is happening now.
Right.
Like, is it worth the cash outlay for these big companies to, like, have a Nissan commercial in the middle of a pedal show? I feel like that's a dumb spend of money, but that's just me.
Or how about the YouTube commercials that you can't skip after 5 seconds? You have to watch the entire 30 seconds or whatever it is. Those are the worst.
Brian Wampler's not going to be a part of that. He's just going to YouTube Red everything.
Exactly. It's worth it, man. I YouTube Red it. I Amazon Prime it. And I'm a paid Spotify member.
Look at you go.
I know. I pay for my
stuff. I don't
do
the YouTube because I don't watch quite as much YouTube as you do. I don't.
Yeah, it's.
Otherwise, I probably would.
I literally, I'll be working and I'll have it running in the background all the time. Literally.
I do that with podcasts. So.
See, podcasts, if I'm listening to a podcast, it's information that I'm really interested in. It happens way too often that I'll hear something. I'm like, oh, wait, what did he say? And so then I spend the next 10 minutes like going back and finding it. And then I keep listening. And then I get distracted and forget what I was even doing in the first place.
So, I see.
Whereas like, you
that,
know,
that
I, can,
makes sense.
I can listen to I'm trying to think what I would watch on YouTube. Like, So for the other day, I was listening to Greg Koch. And he was doing an Anderton's thing. And it was just playing in the background, you know. They would talk a little bit, and every now and then he'd play something really cool. And actually, to be honest, I did the same thing. I'd be like, whoa, what was that? And I would go back and be like, that's a cool lick.
Well, that's Greg Koch, though. It's like a master class just watching that guy.
Oh, my gosh, man. I actually
– anyway.
He does depress me watching him. I'm like, I will never be that good.
he's insane. What's new with Brian? Now that we're 10 minutes in and we've discussed how we consume media, everyone really cares about how we consume media, I'm sure.
And welcome back to the podcast for those that have skipped forward to get past our ramblings. New things with me this week. Let's see. I got one pedal I can't talk about. I got.
Oh, good.
I did. You know what? Hang on. Let me look at this real quick. 1 second. The Quilter Interblock 45. Okay. I got that a few weeks ago, and I had thoroughly played through it. I think it was 2 days ago. And, just playing through a variety of cabinets, et cetera, et cetera. So I really wanted to get a feel for what all the, you know, what the peeps were liking about it so much. And I'll be honest, my favorite not to knock anything about Quilter because the guy's a genius. I forget his name.
Pat.
Pat. Yes, that's right. So yeah, he's way brighter than I could ever hope to be. So not pooping on his parade or anything, but my favorite sound in it was actually taking a black 65, one of our pedals, and using that as the preamp into the power amp into a cabinet. To me, that sounded better.
Interesting. That makes sense, though. You tend to like Fender-y amps.
Yeah, the EQ.
You know, if you color it that way and you get it into a decent power amp, I imagine that probably does sound pretty awesome.
Because I was really wanting kind of more of a Fender-y type of thing, and it seems a little flatter than a Fender, like a Blackface is,
mm-hmm.
And not quite as sparkly. And the EQ doesn't work the same as like an amp EQ. It seems like it's more like an active EQ versus a passive filter, what you'll find on amplifiers. So it just, I don't know. Like it's not that it sounded bad by any means. It just wasn't the sound I was going for until I stuck like that black 65 in front of it. So I don't know. That was my bit of fun. For that day,
that's kind of cool. That's an interesting. Yep. That makes sense though, because like I'm sure they made that amp. I'm sure they didn't voice it like a Fender on purpose. They probably voiced it to sound good with a variety of inputs.
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't find a schematic for anything, so I don't know for sure. But it didn't sound anything like a Fender to me at all. And it's got a switch too for I guess full range speakers. I'm assuming that gives you some sort of cabinet emulation. Wasn't a big fan of that either, but it's, you know, like anything with impulse responses, it sounds way better with those. What else? Oh, I've been finalizing algorithms, which is fancy talk for algorithms for the Terraform.
What? Wait, I thought that was the same word.
You're saying I can't use a descriptor to describe a descriptor? Is that what
you can do whatever you want. It's your show.
It's kind of like I just did this video about my Friedman guitar this week. This week it released. And I was watching it. I'm like, I think I said good. I said that it sounded good or felt good. I used the word good like 20s, maybe into the 30 times. And I'm like, you know what?
I understand.
I need a better adjective. I really, really should have thought that through and used a different adjective rather than good.
You know? It's hard when you're recording a conversation or a video to like you just kind of talk and you just talk how you talk and maybe even a little bit more nervous than normal because you're being recorded and that puts you on a bit of an edge. Kind of regardless of who you are, in my opinion, you're just if you're aware you're being recorded, you do something like your brain switches a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if it's unintentional.
My playing suffers tremendously once I see once the camera is turned on and I've practiced, like I'll practice with the cameras like facing me and sometimes even recording, even though I know I'm not going to do anything with it to try to get past that, like as practice. And still, if I know it's a video that's going to be, you know, this is a keeper, then I just can't – it's either I can't think of what to play or when I do play something, it's sloppy.
I mean, I get that way with – and I'm not the only one. I talked to a few guys like this. At NAMM, it's like my fingers don't work. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try this pedal out. And like there's a bunch of people standing around like, all right, let's hear what he does with this pedal. And it's like I forgot what is guitar. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. It's just, I don't know. It's probably because I'm not, I am an extrovert, but I'm not a musical performer per se. You know that, like I don't play gigs or anything like that. I love recording. I love music. I love all that stuff, but I don't think playing in front of people is my forte. Just, I get a little weird about it. Maybe it's just because I haven't done it. That could be, it could be a simple,
it could
haven't flexed that muscle enough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of there with you where when I do play out, there are times while I'm playing, I think, you know what, this would be so much fun if I was just at home alone.
Right.
Maybe recording something rather than playing to a crowd. I don't know. I just,
I mean, I love playing with a band.
Like, oh, that's the good part. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just like, I don't know. It's probably just a practice thing for me. Not a practice. Well, I should practice more in general, but like actually practicing in front of people or getting used to playing in front of people. Because usually I play for an audience of one. So it's just what it is. But
I get it.
Anyway, all that aside, I had a really interesting day. Was it yesterday? No, it was the day before. I visited one of the coolest guitar shops in Portland, and I hadn't been there for a very long time, and I don't really know why. It's not hard to get to. It's just, it's not my go-to shop for whatever reason. But it is one of the coolest shops in Portland. It's called Black Book Guitars.
Black Book?
And, yeah, Black Book Guitars.
Okay.
And all kinds of vintage everything. I played like a 66 Mustang that was in great shape. There was a pre-CBS Jazzmaster in there. I mean, they had all everything, like everything you can imagine. Just amazing selection of vintage guitars and amps. But what I thought was really cool was, I mean, are you familiar? I know you were a grunge guy back in the day.
Indeed I was.
Are you familiar with the band Mudhoney?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah,
I figured you probably were.
Oh, yeah.
I got to hold one of their Big Muffs.
Oh, that's cool.
Their OG Russian, like, it's not the Red Army Overdrive, not that old, but one of the oldest Russian ones. I can't remember what technically that label is. Maybe a Civil War era, I think is what they would call that. I get my Big Muff timelines mixed up a little bit.
I'm not a pedal history buff like others, but
we'll call Josh Scott about this.
Josh would know much more about that than I would. Yeah.
But I got to hold the, like, one of the ones that was used on tour with Sonic Youth and Kurt Cobain, or, you know, Nirvana and everything, like one that he genuinely used on stage and in studio. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I didn't plug it in and it wasn't for sale, but I did get to hold it. And it just was like, this is insane that this band was so, you know, influential to so many grunge bands.
It wasn't for sale?
It wasn't for sale, no. He is like, oh, you like pedals? Here, come in the back. I got to show you something type of deal. It's a guitar store / like miniature guitar museum with like all these different pieces from very influential, mostly Pacific Northwest based musicians. And, he's got all kinds of cool stuff. So if you're ever in Portland, you know, I always say Old Town Music and you should always go to Old Town Music, but Black Book is amazing. It's a little bit smaller, but the stuff that they have curated there is
one,
so insanely
one might
cool.
Say that the pedal was a little bit overblown, huh? that's right. You're young. Overblown
good joke.
Overblown good was their song on the single soundtrack.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, Brian. I'm giving you know how your kids look at you when you make jokes like that? That's what I'm doing right now.
Are you rolling your eyes as well? Because I get that too.
No, more just a hard stare at the computer monitor. like, all right, you know, that was a joke. All right,
I get it.
But that was really cool. And then I did something that I didn't expect to do, which was I picked up a new tape delay. Oops.
you accidentally stuck it on the counter and accidentally shoved your credit card at him, huh?
Yeah, it was all a mistake. It was not intentional at all. It really wasn't. I had no intention on buying anything that day. I just was like, I haven't been to this shop in a really long time, and I know that they have cool stuff here, and the owner's an interesting guy, and I actually went up there to talk to him about trying to get him on the podcast at some point. He's got an interesting history and he obviously knows a lot about all these vintage instruments. And so I wanted to talk to him, but then I seen this, it's a Evans ES5 Super Echo. And I was like, what is that? Cause it's a big tape delay unit, like a Roland Space Echo or something like that. And turns out through some help with in the Tone Mob Facebook group, shout out to Tavo Vega of the Nocturne Brain. So Evans was a Japanese like PA manufacturer back in the day. I believe this is like a late 70s unit. I don't know. I don't have a hard date on it, but And they apparently made several different Echo units, all tape based. And it sounds awesome. It just, I had one other tape delay unit, which was my Univox EC80, I think is what it, yeah, EC80. And that's like a small cassette based tape delay.
Hmm.
And this is like a full meal deal, like legit tape delay unit. And I haven't been able to stop playing it. It sounds so awesome. And so, it looks so cool.
So where do you get new tapes if you need them?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Chris Benson, because he's the one who serviced it, and he knows about all that stuff. So I will have to ask him. I might have to hit up Mike Fuller. I wonder if his tapes will work in it.
Maybe, yeah.
It's definitely a unit like a Echoplex or like a Space Echo. Not that those are the same thing, but then they definitely sound different, but it's a full-blown unit. And so,
am I crazy, or did someone at one point make an Echo unit that used VCR tapes?
I don't know, but I would love to hear that if that's a thing.
For some reason, I was sitting here thinking, like, it seems like I've seen that somewhere. And I don't recall.
That could be so cool. Couldn't it? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would think so. Yeah.
And the way that, like, actually, I have a pedal that is supposed to replicate that sound. So now I'm thinking that you're probably right. We're going to have to hit the Google train and figure this out.
Yeah, I know very little about the history of guitar effects and such devices like that. So I don't know. Just seems like I've seen that somewhere.
I'm going to hit up the Google train when we get off this and try to find if there's an actual VCR, VHS-based tape delay for audio. It makes sense that there would be. There's no reason that technology couldn't, you know, obviously record audio onto it. That's part of what it did.
Let's see if I can find anything. VHS tape delay studio and probably, okay. The T-Rex replicator, does that use VCR tapes?
No, that uses their like proprietary cassette based thing.
Okay. I there's a thread on Harmony Central about someone modded their VCR to be a tape echo machine. That's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
there's actually several different DIY sites that show you how to take a VCR and turn it into either a VCR or a cassette tape and turn it into a delay.
I've definitely seen it done with cassette tapes for sure. I've definitely seen the DIY cassette tape version. I've never seen it done with VHS tape, but it makes sense. And it also makes sense that could sound really cool, because you know how when you'd watch a VHS tape over and over, we're showing our age. We actually know what VHS tapes are. If you watch a VHS over and over again and it would kind of degrade and get grainy and stuff.
Yeah.
I bet that would be really cool sounding as the tape wears on a VHS with audio signal. I bet that could produce some really interesting effects.
Huh. Yeah. That would be very cool.
I'm being dumb. I forgot.
Go ahead.
I have a pedal, like I said, that replicates, supposed to replicate some of that sound. It's the Cooper Effects Generation Loss. And it's supposed to imitate that. And I didn't really take a second when I was reading the description of it to realize, like, oh, well, this must have been done before. So Tom over at Cooper must have got his inspiration from somewhere, because that's exactly what that pedal is supposed to do.
So I was wondering if one can even still buy VHS tapes. Yeah, you could buy VHS tapes. Huh.
You can? Yeah. You can? It was, I think, five years ago, they stopped making VCRs, though. They finally stopped making them.
Well, there's got to be a pawn shop somewhere that's got a VCR.
Oh, yeah. We can find a VCR. How else am I going to play my original Star Wars tapes? Not those modified versions with the stupid things added into them, where Han didn't shoot first.
Oh, you are a total nerd, aren't you? Yeah, the original Star Wars is different, but you know what? It's not 4K, so there is
that. That's fine. I didn't grow up watching it in 4K. I don't need that business.
Oh my goodness!
Back in my day. Yeah.
So you spun me off on this this rabbit trail where I'm like looking for VCRs now to turn it into a delay. All right, I better shut that down. Shut that.
If you
Google
do that,
down.
If you do that, you should make a video about it.
Ooh.
That would be fun, except then I would get a bunch of email from people that are trying to do the same thing and having problems with it. And the last thing I need in my life right now is more email.
Well, you just tell them at the top of the video, this is not, I am not going to support your DIY project. If this goes wrong, that's on you. I'm not going to answer any technical emails about this.
That doesn't
I don't
work.
Have time.
I've tried that too.
And but then you just delete them because you told them you weren't going to respond.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that the empathetic side of me gets the best and like, okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. I'll help you out. I need to learn to be more of a jerk, I guess. How do you do it so well?
Well, it's natural. Yeah. It's natural. Okay. I'll be honest. I went to classes with Jason Wilding and he taught me how to do it.
Oh, he's going to be furiously angry over that. So, to those who don't know, Jason Wilding is he's many times the guy behind the Instagram posting and the Facebook posting, if you follow that stuff. On Wampler stuff. Yep.
He's a snarky British dude, and I love him.
He is, yeah. He's got some snarkiness to him. It's funny. A few episodes back, I had mentioned something about him always mentioning Brexit on Facebook.
Right.
And so he told me, he's like, I'd never noticed I did that. So I've been, you know, making sure I don't talk about Brexit. I'm like, what are you talking? And I totally forgot to even say anything about it on the podcast. As generally, that's the way these things go. And he's like, yeah, you told everybody on the podcast about how I talk about Brexit all the time. I'm like, I did? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember that now that you bring it up. You did mention that.
Yeah, I forget. To me, these are just conversations that we record, you know?
Well, seriously, this brings up a different topic. I made a post somewhere talking about like one of my favorite riffs, and a couple of my it was a couple moderators in my Facebook group. It was Jason and Jim. They were like, yeah, we know. You've said that a million times. I'm like, oh. And I go, I record two podcasts every week, and then I post a bunch of stuff all over the internet. And I was like, I genuinely forget what I say, where I say it, and whether or not that particular audience has or that particular person has heard me say that thing before.
Right.
Because I definitely do repeat myself, because sometimes people haven't heard that. Then they will, or I'll get asked something and I'll, you know, just repeat it, because sometimes we get the same questions over and over. I gotta apologize for my repetitiveness. I just like Brian said, these are conversations that I record, and I don't remember everything that I said in them. Like, there's too many to keep track of at this point.
It could be said that I basically remember very little of what we talk about. It's just me.
I remember the highlights, but things like you just pointed out, I wouldn't have remembered the Brexit thing until just now. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, Brian did mention that. I totally forgot about it until literally a minute ago.
That's all right. We'll let it slide this time. So you got the Super Echo. How would you compare that to some of your other delays you've played through?
So to me, it's kind of interesting. And I don't know if it has to do with tape age or what, but it has a more lo-fi sound than my Univox tape unit. It's a little murkier, kind of. It does what you would expect from a tape echo. It's kind of degraded a little bit, a little bit saturated, and it has a really nice warmth to it. What it doesn't have, and I'm guessing it's because the tape's in pretty good shape, it doesn't have much modulation. You know, sometimes when the tape gets slightly damaged, the echoes will modulate.
Yeah,
which I love the sound of, but this doesn't really have that. I've played it for several hours at this point, and I never really noticed any warbles.
If you if you take the tape out and just crinkle it in certain places, you'll have some warble.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that, but thanks for the input.
I've heard if you let a mouse live inside of it for a while, you have some modulations there too.
you'd have something mm-hmm. for sure. Definitely would have something.
Might sound a little cheesy.
Oh, but don't. Hashtag dad jokes. I must say, Brian, I give you garbage about it, but I do appreciate a good dad joke. I'm a big fan of a good solid dad joke.
Step one to making good dad jokes is you got to have the khakis, got to have the New Balances. That's the trick. Yep.
I need to get on that train. I don't own khakis or New Balances. Well,
That's why your dad joke game is weak.
I need to get some. Will Nike Air Monarchs suffice? I feel like those are a classic dad shoe as well.
I think you're approaching dadism. Yeah, with those, right. I think you'll be all right.
I'll look for some white Monarchs. That way, I can ease my way into the dadhood. You know.
I don't even know what the hell a monarch is, but sure.
It looks just like what the classic. It looks just like the classic dad New Balance. It's just Nike's version.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that'll work then. That'll work.
But yeah, I really like this thing. I feel the same about the Echo unit as I do about any of the kind of weirdo vintage stuff I have laying around, in that I would never like take it out on the road, like ever, because these things are just, they're too, I mean, mine all work just fine because they're played in very controlled conditions, but I could totally see something like this getting dropped, and then it's like, okay, where do we find a rubber roller that size in the middle of Arkansas? You know, like, it's, and there's right. there's too many really, really good tape emulations out in pedal form, like really, 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 really good ones. So why, like, there's no reason that you should be, you know, like, you know, there's some great Echo Rec clones, or not clones, but Echo Rec emulations out there. Yeah. And there's no reason to take a vintage Echo unit with you on the road anymore, unless you're, you know, Eric Johnson or somebody that has a huge crew and it's not a big deal.
Right. So is there any sort of preamp or anything that's, I mean, I'm sure there is technically a preamp on that, but is it, you know, a preamp that has a unique type of coloring?
Like some of those. It doesn't do the Echoplex thing. It's much more subdued than what I hear when I hear an Echoplex. And granted, I've never had an Echoplex in person to AB with this. I've played Echoplexes before in shops, but I've never like spent as much time as I have with this. And it doesn't really have that sparkle. It's a little more of a lo-fi thing. It definitely has a warmth to it that the Echoplex doesn't really have. And this is, it should be said, this is a solid state Echo. It's not a tube-based Echo.
Oh, okay.
So there could be something to that as well. But it's really cool, and they're not really just available in the States. One interesting thing, if you do stumble across something like this, specifically the Evans stuff, it's a Japanese power supply, so it's 100 volt, not 110 or 120. So you need a adapter to knock it down to Japanese voltage. So yeah, hot tip there if you do find one. But when the good news is because they're not as widely known as a Echoplex, is they're kind of based on the same technology, but they're much more affordable. So you can scratch that itch without spending, you know, $1,200-$1,500 that you'd have to get out of an Echoplex. So it's I think I paid like $450 or something for this thing, which is not cheap, but it's not $1,000 either. So
right, yeah, I got it. I had to come out.
That's
and
my
it.
That's my big long take. It's a very cool thing to have, very cool thing to use, like in studio settings or in controlled environments. I wouldn't take it on the road. No way.
But unless you had a tech.
Unless I had a tech, which I do not think will ever happen. But yeah, that's what I think about this vintage Echo unit. And with that, I will say, I don't know what else to say about it. So there you go. It also looks rad. So if you, I posted a couple pictures on Instagram for anybody that wants to see it. It looks really cool. So there's that.
Yeah. I saw it on the Facebook, I think. I think is where I saw it.
Yeah. I put it everywhere because I was so excited. Look at my new weird thing that I bought. Yay.
Yep. All right. So that's about all I got to say this week, I think. It's been a fairly slow week for me as far as new gear acquisitions and purchases. And other than I've been playing through a bunch of algorithms. So an algorithm, if you don't know, it's basically an algorithm. So.
Oh, wait. Like, that's just algorithm is just a fancy way of saying algorithm.
Right. I mean, some people call it other words, you know, other terms like algorithm, you know, but I just choose to stick with the good old algorithm.
No, I understand. I like to call them owls for short. I think people know what I'm talking about.
AGs. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha.
Oh, AGs. Yeah. AGs. I was working on some AGs.
All right. So if anybody has any comments or questions, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can email Blake@info@tonemob.com. If you're a fan of audio podcasts regarding music and guitar type things, you might check out his Tone Mob podcast as well. Got some great interviews there. And what else, Blake? What else? What else? What else you got there?
Hit us up on all the socials. You and I are available just about everywhere. So Instagram is my primary thing, as a lot of people know. But if you like to tweet, you can tweet at me and I might say something dumb in return.
I prefer snail mail. So, yeah.
All right. I'm going to send you a letter.
P.O. Box 2. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.